Nothing, huh? Nothing, huh? Oh, I'm missing something.
The codes. What day is it? November 15th, 2017 hearing?
All rise, court's now in session.
Thank you.
I don't believe he's coming according to his client, Mr. Stansberry.
But he didn't let me call first. Very unlike him not to. In all fairness, he may have called and may have somehow tried to contact my judicial assistant, who's had surgery. So.
And Your Honor, there's no court reporter. I don't know if you noticed that either.
I don't need one. I can proceed without one.
Can we record the hearing in light of that?
No.
And certify?
No, you can order. You had the right to order one and have one here.
Oh, okay.
But the court, I'm required to record certain proceedings, but I can't use the court recording at the court's own discretion like that. Yes.
So as I mentioned for Mr. Feeman,
yes,
there's three motions set today. They don't impact Mr. Feeman's client. They don't really impact the estate or Elliot Bernstein individually. They're solely within the confines of the trusts, the two trusts. But if Mr. Elliot Bernstein's heard from Mr. Feeman's client, Bill Stansberry, that Mr. Feeman's not coming.
I just, as a courtesy, if you weren't here, I would call if Mr. Elliott wasn't here.
Call him.
I'd be surprised. There'd be a court to call.
And I might not have understood him. I'm medically sedated, actually, at this point.
Okay, just let me. Anyone have his number handy?
I think the office is 734-5552.
That's good.
It's unfortunate I called.
Good morning, Fenton and Associates.
Can I please speak to Mr. Feeman or his assistant?
May I ask who's calling?
Rosemary Shear.
Hold on. Good morning, this is Mary Ann Peter's assistant. How can I help you?
Hi, this is Judge Rosemary Shear. How are you doing?
Hi there. Hi, Ronna. How are you?
I'm great. I am in court, and I just wanted to make sure it was Mr. Feeman's intention not to appear today.
Hold on just a minute. I'm
going to
ask another attorney just so I can give you an accurate answer.
Thank you
okay?
so much.
I'll only be a second.
I feel bad. That's not a call you want. You know what I mean? She just handled it so beautifully too. And he probably, like you said, probably thought he doesn't have a fight in this, you know, a dog in this fight. But I just had a courtesy, want to make sure. In the meantime, will we begin with the motion to approve compromise?
Sorry, Your Honor, Peter's not in, and I would like him to, can I give you another number to call him?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, I think he's out for breakfast still. He may be headed back. 561-441-5484.
Got it, I'll call him right now.
If he comes up with a courthouse, possibly he will answer.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
That got kind of weird. If he doesn't answer, we're going to proceed. I just want, for the record, to note that I tried.
Your Honor, I asked to postpone this. I've had life-threatening medical issues. I put
Can
it in a motion.
Please? I'm on the phone.
No problem.
Hi, Mr. Feynman. This is Rosemary Shear. We're in court on the Bernstein matter. I am assuming that you had no intention on appearing today. I just did want to make a courtesy call. We are in court and we are going to proceed. All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Elliott, go ahead.
And I had asked for a postponement. I've got life-threatening medical conditions. I put in the reports in the filing. I made an emergency urgent motion, but it got held up because of color pages and missized, so they held it up, but it was filed again yesterday and corrected to fit all those things. I sent you a letter on it, an ABR, whatever those are, to your chambers and copied everybody on that, asking for a postponement. I'm totally medicated. I'm on heavy narcotics and heavy muscle relaxers right now, prescribed under doctor's care, multiple, and literally, you know, I'll proceed if you want, because that's what you got going. Also, you've served John Morrissey, I believe, to this hearing today, and he represents, I don't know, I think several beneficiaries. Was he going to be here representing their interests, or are they not represented today?
I'm sure we just served everyone on the list, but anybody who's here has a right to be here. Like I said, Mr. Feeman's always an active party, which is the only
okay.
reason I called him. But everybody else, I just send notice. We are going to proceed.
Okay, we are.
Okay, beginning with the motion to approve compromise and settlement.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, Your Honor, are we making appearances?
Sure.
Okay. And before I do that, I just wanted to know, are we having four hearings today? Because one of the motions you've got scheduled has four cases in it.
We're going to start with plaintiff's motion to approve compromise and settlement. Okay, Mr. Elliott, I recognize your appearance. I recognize Mr. O'Connell's comment in the back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ken Bernstein.
Thank you, sir.
Gordon Walter.
All right. Okay, no, I'm just, I've met you before. I'm not sure how, are you just observing?
I'm from here.
Oh, okay, that works for me. That works for me, perfect. Okay, I just want to make sure you weren't a witness. No worries.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're here today to approve the second half of a settlement agreement. You've already approved half of the agreement as it related to the Shirley Bernstein.
I recall.
And the reason we couldn't have it heard at the same time was because there were, in the Simon Bernstein Trust, there were different parties that needed to be heard or that wanted to be involved, and there were some issues that was already taken care of by the settlement, which included who would represent the estate in litigation and settlement of the Illinois case, which are, those are addressed by the beneficiaries in the settlement agreement, but those issues have been resolved independent of the settlement agreement. So we have an agreement that is solely among the 10 beneficiaries of the Simon Bernstein Trust. Those 10 beneficiaries are 10 trusts. The trustees of those trusts and the guardian ad litem, who is representing the interests of the three trusts for whom no trustee could be appointed, all signed a settlement agreement, and it only impacts the people inside the trust. So I don't believe that anyone else, doesn't really directly impact Mr. O'Connell as the PR, it doesn't impact Mr. Stansberry, doesn't impact the assets of the estate, it doesn't impact Elliot Bernstein directly. And this all emanates, if you recall, from the trial we had before Judge Phillips, where he approved the documents as being valid. So I'd ask you to approve the settlement as the first step.
Okay. All right, Mr. O'Connell?
Your Honor, I have no objection in that we did participate in the mediation that gave rise to this agreement. And I agree with Mr. Rose that there's some elements that would apply and some that don't. I think the aspects he's describing to the court correctly, not directly involved myself.
Question.
She's at this point.
All right. Moving on, Mr. Bernstein?
I object and like to call witnesses.
What purpose would you be calling witnesses?
Well, I want to clarify some of the issues in Mr. Rose's.
Who do you intend to call?
I intend to call Ted Bernstein, Mr. Rose, and possibly Diana Lewis.
Regarding what?
Well, Mr. Rose, regarding his pleading to clarify some issues that appear to be incorrect.
I don't think that's appropriate.
Okay, Ted Bernstein to answer the questions then.
I don't see how you have standing to the settlement agreement.
Is this the Simon Bernstein case?
It is.
The state case?
It is but the settlement agreement is with regards to the trust, correct?
Correct.
Oh, is that an inter vivos trust?
I have no idea whether it's inter vivos.
Well, that was some of the questions we need to address because.
No, we don't. I'm good with it. Is there anything else you want to raise at this point?
Well, I'd like to bring up witnesses and have an opportunity to be heard.
I'm giving you an opportunity to be heard, but I'm not going
to. Okay, well then. Well, I'd like to address some of the issues in this pleading then I'll do that with the court.
Dealing with the motion to approve compromise and settlement.
Is that what I'm dealing with? Okay. The Shirley Bernstein Trust Agreement is being discussed here, dated May 20th, 2008, which is 2 years prior to my mother's death. Therefore, this trust is a living trust, inter vivos, I believe is the legal correct term for it. And therefore, it's really a civil court case, not a probate court, and would not have jurisdiction of this court under the rules of probate. He's calling them testamentary trusts throughout his pleadings, but they're not created under the will of Shirley Bernstein. So they are not testamentary trusts, technically, legally. They are inter vivos, set up prior, funded prior to her death, and therefore this case should have been filed in the civil court, which it's bizarre that it wasn't, but as you know, the probate court doesn't have jurisdiction over civil trust cases.
Do you want me to address point by point? Would that be fast?
Sure. Okay.
So the trust at issue were created by the will and trust of Simon Bernstein upon his death. The trust says that upon his death, there'll be 10 new trusts created. Those trusts will be the beneficiaries of his trust, and at the same time, he exercised a power of appointment over the assets in the Shirley Bernstein Trust to put them all into the 10 new testamentary trusts, which is why we've been here for the past 4 years litigating the issue.
Your Honor, again, he used the word testamentary there, trusts, but he just said that the trusts are supposedly created under the Simon Bernstein Trust dated July 25th, 2012, which is while my dad was alive. He died 9/13/2012. So this again would be an inter vivos trust he's referring to, which therefore the court wouldn't have jurisdiction under Florida probate. And these trusts should have never been heard in the court. I've been pleading that for a while. Plus, here's my other question, Your Honor. He mentioned 10 trusts that were created, but yet the court is not in possession of those trusts, and neither am I or my children. And we have been requesting, we've got counsel out in Texas requesting those trusts be produced. Mr. Rose is refusing. The guardian ad litem has refused. They were not produced at the validity hearings, and he is claiming they were created. I was sued under a trust, if you look at the Shirley Bernstein Trust we're dealing with, by Mr. Rose as trustee for the Simon Bernstein Trust dated 9/13/12. Well, he's talking about here a 7/25/12 trust. Totally different. So I'm sued as a party, and that 9/13/12 trust has never been produced to this court. So he sued parties under that trust, if you read the Shirley Bernstein Trust caption. And you can ask him if there is such a trust. That's why I wanted to put him on the stand, because these are critical issues to jurisdiction if the trust actually exists. So there's supposed to be 10 grandchildren's trust, Your Honor. And he says in one of his pleadings that I've refused to be trustee. That's not true. I hired counsel in Texas for my family. She has requested those trusts repeatedly. He's refused. He's never produced them to the court. And, you know, with all this fraud that's occurred in the past, this appears to be a continuation of the prior frauds of the prior fiduciaries and or the prior counsel of Ted Bernstein, who were resigned because they committed a lot of fraud. So Mr. Rose needs to produce, I guess, today to the court or to me or somebody, these 10 trusts. He claims they're created in his pleadings, so he should have copies of them here.
Mr. Rose, brief response?
Sure. To the extent we're talking about the Shirley Bernstein Trust, Elliot Bernstein has no standing. You've already approved the settlement. It's been affirmed by the appellate court, and we're well beyond that. As far as the Simon Bernstein Trust, this is the document. It's the one that we tried before Judge Phillips. It's the Simon Bernstein amended and restated trust agreement. It's the only piece of paper that exists that creates these 10 trusts, but that's the piece of paper. The terms of the 10 trusts are set forth in this piece of paper. It's in the record of the court. And it's already been validated by Judge Phillips at trial. And one of the things we're going to get to next is the terms of that and when you distribute the money. And
I want to move on to that.
Yeah.
Okay, Your Honor.
All right. No, we're done there. Okay, moving on to, assuming I was to approve the trust, assuming I was to approve the mediated settlement agreement, we come to an issue of the money.
Correct.
So I'll let you proceed with argument in that regard.
Well, can I finish the issues in the trust?
No, we're done with that. Okay, we're moving on.
What other issues?
Okay, but we're moving on. Next.
So with regard to the settlement among the 10 beneficiaries, especially at the Simon side, that there was no dispute that the money goes equally to the 10. There was actually a lawsuit to construe the Shirley Emergency Trust. That's what got resolved with your prior approval.
I remember.
So that brings us to, where do we put the money in the Shirley Bernstein Trust, and where do we put the money from the Illinois settlement, and where do we put the money, if there's ever any money that emanates from Mr. O'Connell's estate after he fully administers the estate, that will go to the same 10 children trust. So what you already approved, when you approved the prior settlement, you ordered us to try to find a replacement trustee. So that's the framework for where we are now. So in our motion, we indicated that Ted Bernstein was probably the only person who would be crazy enough, dumb enough, willing enough to serve as trustee of these trusts, given the history of the case. But he would only do it with the consent of Elliot and Candace Bernstein. That's in our papers. They won't consent to Ted. We've talked.
That's right.
We've talked to numerous people.
I object. Doesn't he have to have some basis to fact in any of that?
Do you agree to Ted being the trustee?
I don't.
Well, let's move on. But you don't have to object. We're done.
But that wasn't,
we're done.
Okay.
We're done. That was the question. That was what you're objecting to. And he said you object.
Okay.
He said he objects.
Okay.
And you said I object. Doesn't he have a basis? So I asked you and you said I object.
Okay.
But I thought you told the court that previously.
Well, I was objecting to that he said I did not want to be trustee.
No, that was not what he said.
Oh, okay.
He said that you did not agree to Ted being trustee.
No, he said I wasn't going to be the trustee, so they picked Ted as trustee. He's saying that I'm supposed to be the trustee. Correct?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Let me tell you what the court's real clear on.
Okay.
You're not going to be trustee, and Ted's not going to be trustee.
Okay, Your Honor,
so
can I ask a question, Your Honor? What are the successor trustee provisions of this trust? Do you have the copy?
I don't have to answer your questions.
Okay, well.
And no, I want him to complete his argument.
Okay.
Complete your argument.
Okay.
I'd like to get through what they want me to do before you respond to why he's saying it wrong. So, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
We have the Shirley Bernstein money.
We have 10 trusts that are created,
yes,
by the Simon Bernstein amended and restated trust.
Seven
of those trusts have a validly serving trustee and are not at issue.
Right.
There are three trusts that were for the benefit of Simon Bernstein grandchildren who are the offspring of Elliot and Candace Bernstein.
Elliot's children.
Okay. So within those three trusts, the document named Elliot as the trustee, but Judge Phillips has already determined that he cannot represent his children's interest and, in effect, removed him if he was willing to serve in any event. The guardian ad litem was appointed, and she has been protecting the interests of his three children in those trusts, and that's where we are. The guardian is not willing to serve any further, and certainly not going to serve as the trustee of trusts that are going to continue for somewhere between 10 and however many years out into the future, because the trusts are designed to terminate. They can be terminated when the assets are below $50,000. They will terminate at age 35 of each of the three children. So it's a long-term assignment. I've talked to a number of, we've solicited advice from Candace and Elliot Bernstein as we were directed to multiple times. We've received no feedback as to who would be an appropriate trustee or any interest in resolving this. And that's not really an issue. Looking at where we are, and there is a little bit of history that directly relates to the appointment of Diana Lewis. She was appointed to handle two matters, these things and a separate trust that were being administered by Oppenheimer. And Judge Phillips heard the two guardian ad litem motions at the same time. With the Oppenheimer, there were three trusts. They were the trustee. They had used the money for education and things, and then they got involved in like a two-year battle to get out as trustee. And tens of $100,000 as trustee from these trusts. So there's nobody in the world in our community, and we've talked to various people that might be willing to serve in some capacity. There's no one that's ever going to serve as trustee of these three trusts. So in consultation with the guardian ad litem, what we propose is to put the money into the registry of the court. Now the advantage of that, we still have the terms of the settlement. We have the terms of the trust. I've actually attached it to our proposed order. But the terms of the trust establish trust for the beneficiaries, and the express terms of Simon and Bernstein's trust tell us what the money can be used for.
I have a question, because you said in the proposed order, upon each child reaching the age of 30, and you just said 35.
And our proposal was 30 only because of the length of time.
So you're asking me to change the term of the trust?
Not necessarily. Well, I prefer not to be laughed at in court.
That's inappropriate.
I'm not laughing at him. I'm just laughing.
It's still inappropriate.
Okay.
We'll do whatever Your Honor wants. I'm going to explain to you our thought process. So it's a burden on the court. It's a burden on the clerk of the court.
Huge.
So what I had proposed was 25, which is the first. At 25, according to the terms, each child is entitled to take out one-third of the principal. And then at 30, they're entitled to take out an additional one-third of the principal, and then at age 35, they can have all of it. So 30 was a compromise, but I'm fine doing 25, 30, or 35. But there is a provision that I'm going to ask you to modify the trust entirely, because there is a provision of the trust for small trusts. And when you get below $50,000, there's a provision that allows the trustee to just terminate it, because it's a small trust and the cost of administering a $50,000 trust. These trusts are, I don't know if they're going to end up with 50 to start with, or 80 or 100. It depends upon, you know, how things turn out in the estate of Simon Bernstein. But
I see what you're saying. So what you're saying is it goes perfectly with the trust. The clerk can do it. But say at 30 rather than waiting to 35.
If they want the money, the children come in and apply for the money. Or we could just leave it at 35.
I would leave it at the age.
That's fine. So my order can just be modified to do that. And then what I've done, and I've met approaches with my proposed order just so you can see where I'm headed.
Unless you changed it, you sent it to me.
Oh, no, I didn't change it. But it had attached the relevant pages so that there'd be no confusion.
That's why I was just, that's why I was looking and that's why I was asking.
And so, for example, needs, the money can
and
be...
And you highlighted it for the clerk if I was to allow it to go in.
I did. And so all the money goes for welfare, but welfare is defined fairly broadly as health, education, maintenance, and support. And then there's further definition of education, what constitutes proper education, what constitutes proper needs, and what constitutes proper welfare.
So you're making the clerk. That's my problem.
Oh, I'm not making the clerk do anything. What I'm suggesting is
See where you're going.
The money's going to sit in the registry of the court. The only people that could show up are the three children to ask for money. And if they do, they would file a motion, have a hearing, and if Your Honor approved the money...
Then the clerk...
The clerk
so would, they would still go through me each time they wanted the money.
Right. The clerk's doing nothing but the ministerial act of holding the funds, because... And it's in our papers, but I mean, you cannot be sued and the clerk cannot be sued, and anyone else that touches these money is going to get sued by somebody or be involved in some lengthy piece of litigation. And the other alternative is just to give the money to the kids outright now, because it's totally impractical to have money held in trust with, you know, given who their parents are and how they've litigated this case.
If I was to allow it to go into the clerk registry, we need more than what's proposed in this order. We need the history of why. I want to hear from the guardian ad litem, because it seems like that was part of the discussion. In other words, you're telling me nobody will take it, but I want to know what efforts were made to contact an independent trustee, is my thought process.
And then the third issue we have for today, once we get past that, if we get that far, is discharge the guardian.
Of course.
Okay, so that's...
All right, so let's hear from the guardian at
the end. One other thing, if I just for history, for...
Yes.
We did ask Candace and Elliot multiple times if they had any, if there were any family members other than them, or anyone they could suggest or recommend, at least to be considered. And it's been going on for months and months and 6 months or a year, and we've heard nothing. So that's what brought us to where we are today. And we propose this is the only workable solution.
I'm going to hear from the guardian ad litem.
Okay.
And then we're going to hear
respond.
From
okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your Honor, not only did Mr. Ted Bernstein contact through his attorney or however, to ask who else could serve as a trustee. I'm not willing to do it.
Can I put you under oath just so that it's all she swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Go ahead. So you're not willing to serve?
I'm not willing to serve. It's been a trying case. But the bottom line is, we even asked the children through a letter from their uncle to identify someone that would be a trustee. And from what we know of now, the proceeds are not enough to get a corporate trustee. In other words, no bank is going to take it, no trust officer is going to take it. They're too small of trusts, at least in my experience. Okay. So the bottom line is, what was the alternative since we didn't have the name of a person or anybody offering to come up and be the trustee? And that seemed to be the only alternative. Then the children could come in and ask for relief from the court, and the court would then identify those funds to be distributed accordingly through the clerk's office. So that's been the bottom line. It's been very frustrating to understand and know that the children's assets by the
Okay.
Any questions by the court?
Let's go ahead and take testimony at the time. You see what I'm saying? Did you have a timesheet?
We did a notice of filing in the timesheet. If you don't have it, I thought it was done. Okay.
I'm sure it was sent to Jay.
To whoever. Okay. Hold on.
You have a copy of your own?
Yeah.
And do you have a copy from Mr. Elliott?
We serve.
Do you have a copy today from Mr. Elliott? Because I want to take one that I'll review as evidence.
Okay.
Are you asking the court to take this into evidence?
Your Honor, I'll give Mr. Bernstein my copy.
Thank you.
I got a copy of this. This is the one you filed?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And since that time, Mr. Bernstein filed a number of motions last week for the emergency and urgent motion that came across the email that it's not accounted for in there. And then today's time for the hearing, et cetera, I put to be determined. But there are a number of entries in there where I gave it as professional courtesy. And if a time entry says plus near it, it's because it took me more time than that. But I didn't put it on the children's timesheets because I got very frustrated by the fact that there were so many pleadings coming in and voluminous pleadings. So when you review it, and Judge, when I took this case on, when I had heard the background on it, I said to the attorney that contacted me that normally my fee is $350 an hour, but I'm not going to charge that for this because I understood the trust to be small, and it really wasn't fair to the children. So whatever you decide is fair to me. I have no problem with it. So
your normal rate would be $350 an hour?
Yes.
And just, I don't think it's appropriate, even though I know your background from formerly serving, I think it's appropriate just to give you a brief, just to put on the record briefly how many years of experience you have in probate. And
I don't remember. It was probably two to two and a half is what I'm guessing. It's when Judge Cook retired, I took over his division.
Okay, as a probate judge.
Right.
And your prior practice?
I was 20 years a trial lawyer, 12 years as a circuit court judge. And my last serving was in the probate foreclosure division, right.
Okay, and your normal rate is just $350. Willing to?
I'm willing to cut it to whatever you think deem appropriate, given the background on this case, et cetera, because I don't think it's fair to the children.
All right. Okay, objections to the time going into evidence?
Oh, no. Let it in.
In evidence?
And Judge, I also mentioned that I didn't charge on quarter hours. I charged per minute.
I saw that. I will review it thoroughly in my chambers.
And Your Honor, I do object that to going in because it does have no dollar amounts to it. It's in four cases. And that's the part that scares me. Are we hearing four cases here today? If you look at the front of it, it's teed up for four cases. Are we hearing those cases? Because you only noticed me of two on your order. So
no, this is specifically related to first service, related to the Ted Bernstein as trustee. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, there's.
This
yeah.
is per time. Let me ask you. How am I to divide this? That's a good question.
I'm the one who was there when it happened, so.
Please.
There were no assets in the Oppenheimer Trust. They were dissipated to almost nothing. I mean, it probably beyond the court's interest, but
There were some little remaining assets that Oppenheimer was going to take as a fee, and the guardian had recommended that they, rather than take it as a fee, they pay it toward the taxes for the house that the children live in, which was a pretty good benefit to them. But when the guardian was appointed by Judge Phillips in the Oppenheimer and in these matters, it was with the agreement that she would be paid from the assets in these trusts, because there was no funds in the other trusts. So that's why I think her time entries that she recorded would have been that way. If it was the other way, she would have probably been entitled to the $6,000 from the Oppenheimer trust or was there. So I think the answer is it all comes from the same.
So my question is, shouldn't it be refiled? Because this appears that it's being entered into those other cases, and we're not having hearings for those.
I think it was only filed in one case.
It was filed in this case. To be specific, the 12CP4391.
It's also filed in the William Stansberry case in civil court.
It can be filed in all cases.
Okay, but we're not hearing those today. I mean, is it going to be entered into all four cases?
I'm deciding whether.
Okay.
If I'm understanding, Mr. Rose, you're asking that fees be paid out of the 12CP4391.
Well, it's actually filed in. The funds where there's assets are in the Shirley Bernstein Trust, which is the top caption of our notice of filing is the Ted Bernstein versus the beneficiaries of the Shirley Bernstein Trust.
It would be paid out of the assets of the trust for the children.
Right.
That is not, the amount has not been defined yet.
And I object to it going in on those grounds. Your Honor.
Overruled us to that objection. Your point is valid as to where the money's going to come from, but it's going in evidence.
But all the money, there are three pots of money that eventually would be now available to these children as a result of, there is going to be money in the Shirley Bernstein Trust. That's the top caption case, which is 2014-3698. That's money that's going to be distributed. We obviously need to get a place to put the money. And that is the primary place. The secondary place is now coming out of Illinois because Elliot Bernstein rejected his share of it pursuant to the terms of the settlement agreement in Illinois, which had been approved by the court. Those funds are going to go equal one-third to his three children. And then ultimately there's a third potential place, which is from the Simon Bernstein estate. If there's actually a distribution to the Simon Bernstein Trust, then that money gets split 10 ways to the children.
I understand. So actually the guardian ad litem's fees are being paid from the children's money. Right now you can't specify exactly what dollar amount's coming from which, but what we're asking the court to do today is enter an entitlement for her to receive funds from the children's monies that are coming out of three different pockets.
Correct. And that was when we had the guardian appointed, that was the provision. All 10 grandchildren have borne all the legal fees and all the craziness that's happened. With the guardian, it was directed to be paid from the share that would be paid to those three children equally, one-third each child. And there is going to be sufficient funds from the 3698 case to pay the guardian before we pay the rest of the money.
What I would want you to do is amend your proposed order to reflect Ms. Lewis's testimony regarding the reasons. You'll be allowed to ask questions of Ms. Lewis in a second. To the what she testified to when she came onto the case, that she, in the interest of not punishing the children, was willing to take a reduced rate. She has been specific in her time entries, while she has not included some because of the voluminous onslaught of pleadings, that it is her opinion, based on the history of this case and based on her history as she set forth to the court, of being 12 years as a circuit court judge, 20 years in private practice, the last 2 to 2.5 years of her service as a circuit court judge in the probate division, that no corporate trustee would accept this because of the small nature of the funds, despite attempts, no proposed acceptable trustee has been put forth by the parties.
I have put forth
trustee
potentials.
I'd like to hear from you.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll let you respond.
Okay.
But I want that to be all put forth, and then that the court took into evidence over objection. The guardian ad litem's timesheets and awards this much as reasonable hours, this much at this hourly rate, and I'll do the calculation once I add everything. Were there costs that I didn't see?
There are costs. It was the travel time.
Travel time at the end. Got it.
And I don't, normally I charge travel time within the hourly rate, but on this occasion, I just gave the actual rate that is allowed for by the IRS, and it changed in, while I was appointed.
Okay.
And I set
forth. You calculated that.
Yeah, I set forth that.
You did. All right. But you can leave that portion blank now. Mr. Elliott, first, who did you propose?
Well, as I stated to the court, our family attorney contacted Mr. Rose and asked him to send over the trust so we could appoint a trustee. She's willing to do it.
Who is the name you propose?
Candace Schwager. And she was willing to, but she wants to see the terms of these 10 trusts, or the three for my kids that are created. And my children contacted Diana Lewis and asked her to send Candace Schwager the trust so she could review them and either find a trustee corporate, which she might be able to have, or appoint herself. She's an attorney, legally licensed.
Where?
Or in Texas. Or find someone in our family, such as Candace's mother, etc., who's qualified and approved by the court. And all we have been asking for is copies of the trust. He keeps saying they're created and there's 10 trusts. They've never been entered into this court. And there's EIN numbers for them, in fact, which I've reported to the IRS as fraud, because the IRS better have 10 trusts.
I want Ms. Lewis to respond to.
I've never been contacted or told that Candace Schwager was someone that could be considered.
Your Honor, in the letter that Mr. Rose is filing contempt for that were written by my children.
Do you have anything, her letterhead, anything like that?
Yeah, went to her.
Right now. I don't want to hear what, do you have a
who, card? Who, Candace Schwager?
Business yes. Card? Yes.
Oh, my wife's looking.
Let's just pause a second.
On 12/15, she put in a pro hac vice to try to get in for the validity here. Oh, here, we got it.
That's what? Of 15.
That's all. Oh, here's Your Honor.
The morning of the trial that we had before Judge Phillips, she was trying to appear for Elliott Bernstein as his counsel.
Got it.
To stop the thing.
She was trying to come in to
seek a continuance, and she's.
So have you? So the attorney that you've proposed is an attorney out of Texas?
She was going to also look to see if there's somebody in Florida that we could retain. If there's corporate, she knows some people. And, you know, she might be entering in this case almost momentarily pro hac, or I think she's found me some counsel, Florida counsel as well. And I was going to ask for a stay based on that because the children need to be represented here by counsel. What? Yeah.
All right, this is from December 2015. Do you have anything?
Yeah, we have more recent. Here's an October 18th letter.
I got it. That
to one. Alan Rose.
Return this one to, thank you very much.
And then, Your Honor.
Okay, please be quiet.
Oh, sorry.
2015.
What?
All the way back to 2015.
Right, exactly. She's been trying to get those trusts since 2015. Multiple letters have gone out.
It's interesting the way it's. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, but we have.
No.
Oh, okay,
I'm sorry. I want to hear Mr. Rose's
okay.
Response.
Yep.
We really don't care who serves as trustee because it's not. Once the money is funding the trust, mm-hmm. It's for the benefit of these children.
Ms.
Schwager, though, is first of all, if she's a lawyer and she doesn't know where the terms of the trust are set forth, which they're clearly set forth in the Simon Bernstein amended and restated trust agreement from July 25th, 2012. I might understand Elliott Bernstein for the past 5 years not understanding what document created these trusts.
But this is a lawyer who can't find the trust document, which they have, which has been attached to virtually everything we filed in this case. I have serious concern, but I think if we just do an internet research of this woman, I don't think she's a suitable candidate to be the trustee for these children.
This is unsupported. I object to all this. What's internet search reports on people?
I didn't do it.
I mean, there's no evidence of that. He hasn't produced any of that to the court. He's just making kind of slanderous, defamatory statements about a licensed attorney in Texas, who's a rather heroic one, by the way. And advocates for
someone that's going to administer their funds.
She's certainly qualified.
All right. I will take this October 18th, 2017 letter into evidence.
And, Your Honor, one more thing. You've got in evidence already under the contempt proceeding that you teed up for next year in March, two letters that my children wrote to Diana Lewis. At the end of those letters, you'll see that they both ask her to just simply send these trusts. And by the way, do you have that page with the 10 trusts? The 10 trusts that have EIN numbers. Oh, there's supposedly trust created. This is the title of them that were filed supposedly with the IRS to get an EIN. The trust created for the benefit of Joshua Bernstein under the Simon L. Bernstein Trust dated 7/25/2012. So there's a trust, a subtrust, supposedly created under an amended trust. Now, I want to be very clear. Under the Simon Bernstein amended trust, there is, it's only for his then living grandchildren, which is defined under the original trust, the May 20th, 2008 trust that's amended. And the only trusts that are under that trust are the Elliot Bernstein Family Trust, the Lisa Friedstein Family Trust, and the Jill Iantoni Trust. And those were funded while my parents were alive.
This is part of what we're revisiting.
I'm letting him do his argument.
Okay.
And then he can ask Ms. Lewis questions.
Okay. Mr. Rosa said repeatedly there are 10 trusts created. All we are asking for is copies. He's not saying the Simon Bernstein Trust is the ruling document. He's saying that the people want to know who want to be trustee. What are the terms? Who's the successor if Elliot refuses or is found incapacitated by the court? Or what are the terms of these trusts? Now, they filed with the IRS these trusts supposedly and got EIN numbers. So he should have copies of whatever was created. Remember, he says they were created after Simon died. So they should be created, signed by somebody, or mine shouldn't be signed, but the other seven need to be. And it should have terms of a trust, like any trust that would be created, if it were created post-mortem. But by the way, these are not testamentary trusts, as he keeps calling them throughout his pleadings, because they are part of an inter vivos trust, allegedly. Not a will. And that's got to be clearly understood, and Mr. Rose knows these terms, I'm sure. And therefore, all this inter vivos trust hearings, the Simon Bernstein's trust and who the beneficiaries are, is not in the proper jurisdiction before this court. And therefore, all these trust cases should be void, all orders from them should be void, etc. And enough.
Right now,
yep.
You have 5 minutes to ask questions of Ms. Lewis.
Okay, Ms. Lewis, in your bill, I notice that there's bills after the date. Where's my notes? Way back up. Right here. After August 27, 2015, are there any entries in there after that time? Yeah, August 27, 2015. Seems that almost all of the time entries are after August 27, 2015. Is that correct?
I don't know about that.
Just look at the starting date, please.
My billing didn't start until March 16.
So all the bills are after August 27, 2015. Correct?
All the bills are starting in March of 16 with a lot of professional courtesy.
Okay, and that's after August 27,
2015. I think it goes without saying.
Okay, well, let's just say it on the record. In your guardian ad litem for minor children, correct? Of my three children, correct?
Yes.
objected.
Excuse me, can I finish before?
Wait a minute, he has, if he's making a legal objection, it gets.
Oh, no, I was just trying to hear the end of her answer, though.
But she can't answer until I hear the legal objection.
Gotcha.
Go ahead, Mr. Rose.
I said, the order speaks for itself.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The order indicated from Judge Phillips on one of the cases that it was for minor children, until you whispered in my ear at one of the hearings here that one or two of the children had become adults. I had no idea, one way or the other.
Well, I'm petition, you're familiar with this because you're a judge who handled probate matters. On a petition for guardianship that you would have been appointed under, it needs to list their age and date of birth and those things, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay, well, once they reach the age of consent, you're no longer the guardian ad litem, correct? You have to final.
That's not true, sir.
You don't have to final report and release the funds? Okay, under Florida law, appears to be.
I object, yes, Your Honor, objection, the legal objection is that Mr. Bernstein, I think, has misunderstood the nature of the appointment.
She's answering.
Okay.
Okay, so what you said was that the pleadings and the orders were for a guardian ad litem for minor children of Elliot Bernstein, correct?
One of them was, yes.
Okay, and you're operating under that order, correct?
I'm operating under the two orders that were entered.
Okay, and Josh Bernstein, if you're not familiar with your client's age, he was born on August 27th, the same day as my brother, the trustee who sought the guardianship, in 1997.
I'd have to look it up. I do have the dates of your children.
Okay, and so on August 27, 2015, he was an adult.
Sir, you don't understand the name.
Well, yes or no, was he an adult on August 27, 2015?
I have to do the math.
Okay, do the math.
Someone from the audience laughing isn't really appropriate.
Yes, that is not.
Yeah.
No laughing. It's not funny.
What's your question again, Mr.?
My son was born on August 27, 1997. He turned the age of consent legally as an adult on August
27,
2015. Correct?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Perhaps.
Okay, I'll let you.
Sitting down and doing the math, but yes, he's 20 now. 2 years ago, whatever, would have been. But.
Okay, no.
Consent doesn't have anything to do with it, sir.
Well, you got guardianships over minors in your orders.
And one of the.
But whatever, I'm just saying you're acting under that order.
Sustained.
There's two objections, pending.
Sustained you're, on both. All right, you got one more minute, Mr. Bernstein.
Are any of the bills after August 27th, 2015? Your answer was yes, correct?
The bills start in March of 16.
And did you ever have guardianship hearings for an adult for Joshua Bernstein?
No.
Okay, thank you. And when do you have to file a final report for a guardian ad litem if they turn 18?
Not any time that I know of.
Okay.
The court can correct me.
Okay.
Your Honor, can you answer that?
No, I don't have to. I'm hearing argument.
Okay.
I'm not commenting on a witness's testimony.
Oh, no, I was just asking if you knew.
I do not need to comment on a witness's testimony. That's for the court to make findings.
Okay, can I make a statement on that?
No,
okay.
You may not.
Okay.
Okay. Now, thank you, Mr. Rose.
Mr. Rose,
please
respond.
No questions.
All right. Now, the last motion we are here to deal with today is the motion to direct payment for the benefit. Excuse me. The motion in the Shirley case to modify the order. Mr. Rose, explain to me.
Oh, Your Honor, on that.
No, I said Mr. Rose.
No, I just one question before you even start that. I might not even be necessary. You're stating in the Shirley Trust that I'm not a beneficiary and have no standing, correct?
Yes.
So I won't be able to participate, basically.
Exactly.
Even though I'm a named beneficiary in the trust. But understand that I am a named beneficiary in that trust.
Sure.
So so can I leave? Because I am really going to throw up in a minute. Okay, thank you. And you have a lovely day, and I appreciate Your Honor's time, as always. He's still an American. Still an American hero. Don't worry. No matter what guns go to the head.